reading to you from the 12th chapter of Luke, and with the 15th verse. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, friends, I've been trying. This last week's been a sad week for us. As you recall, a preacher friend of mine had a wife that had a breast cancer, and they put her on chemo, and anyway, she just went on to be with the Lord the other night. And I'll tell you, friends, what she did. She died at 11 o'clock, day before Thanksgiving. And just before she passed, she raised both hands toward heaven to let them know that she was on her way. Well, friends, you know, that's the greatest joy in the world that we can have, is telling men and women how to be saved. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the third chapter of Luke, and let's begin reading at the third verse. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation." John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" I've labeled this tonight, "A Preacher with a One-Track Mind." Now listen, friends, if I die before the rapture, I want them to put on my tombstone, "Here lies a preacher with a one-track mind." I will never be remembered as a pulpiteer or a great speaker, but I do hope that I'll be remembered as a man who tried to win souls and encourage others to do the same. I recall a few years ago when I was going to Calvary Baptist Church, our pastor called me in one day and said, "Cecil, do you think our church could start a layman's witness?" I assured him we could, and we did. Every month for 3 years, the team and my wife and I would get in our motorhome and take off for three glorious days of sharing Christ with other churches. Oh, how God blessed that little group of laymen. 26 decisions alone in Billings, Montana. A dear pastor who was working 60 hours a week to support his family and trying to pastor a church. But the tears of joy we saw that dear pastor shed as he saw people in every service walk the aisles for Christ. We held services in Littlefield, Texas, Wyoming, Washington State, Colorado. I remember in Texas, I saw James Ivey get up before his own family and pour his heart out and saw his sister saved. We saw little Yuli Johnson, a black teenager, come to Christ in our motorhome. We saw a prosperous Mexican lady who owned a restaurant came to Christ. Well, now let me tell you something about that church. There was only 6 people from that church attended this meeting that we had, these 3-day lay revival. Only 6 people in that church. Now, 3 years later, I was going to Texas, and I was showing my film down in Texas. And so I called this pastor, and I said, "Do you remember me?" "Why, sure I remember you, Cecil. What's on your mind?" I said, "Well, I'm coming through your town again, and we're headed for southern part of Texas to show my movie. And I said, maybe you'd like to, your church would like to see our movie." He said, "Boy, that'd be great. And then you can preach on a Sunday morning." So my wife and I, we got in our motorhome. We pulled up in front of that church, and I didn't know the church. The church had a brand new roof on it, had a new paint job. Inside was new carpeting, new pews, organ. I says, "What in the world?" Do you know how many people showed up that night? 100 people. That's quite a jump from 6 to 100. By the way, that pastor just went home to be with the Lord. He was a great man. But you see, I saw those laymen grow in grace. Some of them fell beside the road. Pride entered into their hearts, and they began to think that they were to preach and instead of sharing their testimony. Some went back into the world, but some of them are still serving the Lord in a greater capacity. Many, many, many years ago, there was a layman come to my door in Linden, Washington. His name was Morris Honkoop. He said, "Cecil, the Lord laid on my heart to come over to talk you into starting a radio broadcast here in Linden." I said, "Oh, my stars, I can't do that." He said, "I'll pay for it, and let's do it." So we had two services a week, 15-minute services called Souls for the Lord. One day I received a phone call from a man. He said, "You know, Cecil, I listened to you on the radio, and I'd like to visit with you. If you ever get into town, come and look me up." So my wife and I pulled in there one day, knocked on the door, and he let me in, and here was about 8 people in a circle with their Bibles in their hand. They were Mormons. And he started talking to me about the Mormons. And I said, "Sir, I didn't come here to talk about the Mormons. I didn't come here to talk about the Baptists. I come here to talk to you about Jesus, because he's the only one that'll get you into heaven. Nobody else. The church can't do it. The preacher can't do it. Baptism can't do it. Can't buy your way in. You got to come in through by grace." Well, anyway, to make a long story short, pretty soon he had cancer, and he went to the hospital. And I went to the hospital to see him, and he was in a tent, an oxygen tent, and he was in pretty bad shape. I witnessed to him, you know, and about 3 days later, I felt I should go back again while he was about to die. Now, he can't talk, just like this pastor's friend of mine's wife that just passed away. Her throat was completely paralyzed, so she couldn't talk, and nor could he. And I took him by the hand, and I said, "Listen, let me tell you about Jesus one more time." To make a long story short, I said, "Let's use the sign language. Yes, squeeze twice. No, squeeze once." So I asked him if he'd like to know more again how to be saved. He squeezed my hand twice. And I asked him if he'd like to have me lead him in a sinner's prayer. And he squeezed my hand twice, led him to Christ, and he lived a few days more, and then he died. Oh, friends, how am I so glad. Had it not been for that Morris Honkoop, that wonderful Dutchman from Holland, layman, getting me started in radio broadcast, there's a good possibility that man would have never been saved. And now, over the many, many years, 40 years, I've preached in countries all over the world on radio. Does that make me something special? No, 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 no. But if it had been for him, that dear layman, I would have never got into radio broadcasting. And you know what? About 7 years ago, we were in Bellingham, my wife and I, and I went over to see him, and Morris was dying. And I remember taking Morris by the hand, and I knelt beside him, and I said, "Morris, what a brother. What a brother. Oh, there's going to be many souls attributed to you because of what you did." Well, and he went home to be with Jesus. We believe our Lord when he said, "Go out into the highways and the byways and bring them in. We believe it, but we don't do it. Amen? Christians today spend more time at the health spa than they do witnessing for Christ. Recently, I preached a funeral of an alcoholic. His wife was also an alcoholic. I didn't preach that poor drunk into hell. I gave an invitation, invited people to put their trust in Christ. Every Christian there shook my hand and loved my neck, and they were pleased that I invited people to accept Christ. I asked them to bow their head and make their reservations for Christ, for heaven. Maybe some of you listening have not made your reservation for heaven. If you haven't, you're lost, doomed, and damned, and are headed for a devil's hell, thus saith the Lord. Well, you see, well, Cecil, how do you make your reservation? Well, very simple. Confess that you're a sinner. Now, it says in Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, he says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come, repenting of your sins and receiving him as your Savior. Some have told me not everyone is a soul winner. Well, it says in Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as a brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. There's no joy that will ever compare to soul winning. Soul winning is all I know, and that's what I live for. I recall while preaching a revival in Marion, Virginia many, many years ago, there was a lady who came to every service. As soon as a benediction was given, she would split. She wouldn't talk to anyone, and the reason she stood out in the church was because she wore beautiful different hat every night. It was evident that she was a woman of great wealth, but she was an alcoholic. Did you know many Christians despise alcoholics? Well, everyone shunned away from her. You could smell the booze on her breath 6 pews away. Sunday morning was the only service that no one came forward. We sang several verses of invitation. I could see she was trying to get up the courage to step out and come forward. And I asked all the Christians to bow and really pray that the one struggling with Satan would make that first step. She came down the aisle crying. Boy, that breath almost knocked me flat. Her and I knelt there, and she asked me, she said, preacher, could God change my life? Oh, I assured her he could. What happened, her husband was a very wealthy insurance man. And he just died suddenly, bingo, like that. And she couldn't bear it. So she took to the bottle, trying to find some comfort. And I did the same thing when I lost my parents. But I'll tell you one thing, friends. The last report I heard that she was such a soul winner that church never had, because she made Christ the Lord of her life. Beloved, you don't have to be rich, good-looking, or educated to be a soul winner, because if you did, I'd never tried to win souls. Paul was the only real educated one of the apostles. They even said Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned. Easter Sunday morning, I was preaching a revival in 3 churches in the beautiful state of Virginia. In this one church, they told me about the town drunk and his wife, who owned a cleaner's. I went down and started sharing Christ with them. Pretty soon, 2 more alcoholics came in, and the 4 of them sat down and listened as I shared this wonderful Christ with them. I told them all the heartaches my family and I went through while I, too, was an alcoholic. They sat there with tears streaming down their faces. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Pollard accepted Christ. Another town drunk, his name was Jones. The church had helped them many times with groceries. They paid their light bill a couple of times. Well, on my visitation, I couldn't find Mr. Jones. I went to his home and witnessed to his wife. Thursday night, during the invitation, this big giant of a man came forward and accepted Christ. Oh, how the church rejoiced. Their labors were not in vain. The very next night, Brother Jones had his wife, his teenage daughter, and teenage son do an invitation. His wife and his two children were saved. Glory to God. Great things he hath done. Oh, friends, sometime we need to help people, not only financially, but physical needs. And we are going to work. We're not going to be there because we work for rewards. We are rewarded for working for the Lord. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. You say, Cecil, God never gave me that kind of a call, bourgeois. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's a French word for horse feathers. Many Christians are not willing to pay the price of discipleship. He says that no man has left his home or his family for my name's sake who has not been richly rewarded. Case in point, my family and I had a little 5-acre farm in Lennon, Washington. I roofed, preached, and won souls to Christ. I had a great big old gospel tent. I would set it up in a cow pasture and other places, apple orchards, you know, name it. We did it. Plus, I had my radio ministry. Then my family and I were in a terrible car wreck, which laid me up for 2 years. The little 5-acre farm kept us from starving. We raised our meat, calves and hogs, had a milk cow, big garden fruit trees. Well, it was beautiful how God took care of us. And you know what, friends? He said he would take care of us. My God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. A small, struggling church in Anacortes, Washington, called me to be their pastor. That meant giving up our little farm that we loved. Now listen, the church offered us $100 per month if the money came in, and I took it. We had moved into a shack in Anacortes. My wife and kids were trying to clean it up and paint it so it looked halfway livable. The last night I stayed in the house up in Linden by myself on a little farm. I awoke about 4 in the morning. I got up and I looked out that big plate glass window, and all of a sudden I didn't want to give it up. This is where my children and I used to play football and baseball and raising calves and food stuff. I knew we would suffer hardships, and then, of course, and we did. Like to starve to death for the next 2.5 years. But, oh, God rewarded us. We led precious souls to Christ. Oh, yes, the wonderful, precious memories we have. Linden, and yes, and Anacortes, Washington. Well, Lord willing, and Jean and I'll be there Thursday next week. We were going to Canada, and we were to meet with my organist and a plane pilot that flew me over the country when I was preaching. I was an evangelist, and we will meet with Morris Honkoop and the layman who taught me to go on the radio broadcast. Oh, friends, I owe him a lot. But one night, Gene and I was in Roanoke, Virginia, and I was preaching in this large church. After the service, Reverend Suggs said, Cecil and I are going to an alcoholic rehab center, and Cecil's going to witness to this alcoholic. That morning, that young man came to a church, had a pistol laying in the seat of his pickup. He told that pastor if he didn't find the answer that morning, he was going to kill himself. Well, he didn't find the answer, so he left before the preacher could stop him. We called the hospital, and they said he was too drunk to talk. Well, 7 the next morning, the pastor called and said, Cecil, you and Tom Baird, he was a preacher and introduced me to Christ in Seattle, we're going to go look and we're going to find this guy because he snuck out of the hospital at midnight. The pastor said he lived in southeast Roanoke, which is a big town to say the least. We prayed God would lead us to that man's apartment. Does God work that kind of miracles today? Praise his name, he does. We found, God led us to his apartment. The Lady said he was upstairs packing. She called him down. Can you imagine how what it would be to be facing three preachers with their Thompson chain Bible ready to attack you? I asked him to sit down beside me. And all of a sudden, all my learnings, all my theology was not important. Here sat a poor, lost alcoholic with no hope for tomorrow. As I shared my testimony with this young man, he just kept wiping his eyes with his T-shirt. I said, Bill, would you like to know Jesus too? He couldn't answer. He just shook his head. The four of us knelt, and I helped him with the sinner's prayer. Today he's a counselor at an alcoholic state hospital. Praise his name. Time will not allow me, but I could share story after story with you about men and women and children who I've seen trusting Christ. Well, I got to tell you one more. I was going to Bible college in Riverside, California. And I roofed in the daytime. I'd go to college at night. And the man I was working for, he said, Cecil, before you go home tonight, I want you to go over to the Johnson, Dr. Johnson residence. He needs a new roof on his home. He said, now you be sure to go over there. They need that tonight. I didn't want to do it. I sure didn't want to do it, but I did. I knocked on the door, and this young teenage boy come to the door, and I said, I'm Mr. Moe with Byers Roofing Company, and I said, I'm supposed to give an estimate on putting a new roof on your home. He said, okay, go on up there and measure it up. So I did. Came back down, knocked on the door, and I said, here's the estimate. He said, no. He said, I'd like to have you talk to my mother. And out come this beautiful woman. Oh, she was a beautiful, but her eyes were red, and you could tell she'd been crying. And she said, I'm so sorry to look this way, but I've got some issues. And I said, look, ma'am, I said, I come here to sell you a roof, but I'm a preacher, and I'd like to, if I can help you, I sure will. We sat down. She poured her heart out. Her husband tried to get her to go to a key club where they would exchange wives and husbands, and she wouldn't do it. And I said, bless your heart, I'm glad that you wouldn't. Anyway, to make a long story short, I told her about Jesus, and that night that lady knelt there on her knees, gave her heart to Christ. The last time I saw her before I moved to Oregon was she was taking dentist wives, and they were and had a Bible teacher, and they were teaching those women about Jesus. Friends, and I've every year I'd call her on the phone, and she'd say, Cecil, every time you call me, it seemed like I've had a spiritual need. Well, she's home with glory now. Oh, friends, I could go on and on and on, but I know you're getting bored still. But let me tell you what. You say, Cecil, I've never led a soul to Christ, and I'm a Christian. I've never even witnessed. Well, shame on you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You mean you want to stand before God empty-handed with nothing to put at the master's feet? Oh, my stars, I feel sorry for you. But you know what? You can change that tonight if you'd like to. You say, how? Well, very simple. If you're a Christian and you've not done any witnessing or soul winning, bow your head to me right now and pray this simple prayer. Father, Cecil hit me right between the eyes. I have not witnessed and I haven't been concerned about lost people. Tonight, Lord, I surrender my heart and life. Help me, oh God, to be a soul winner or a witness for Jesus. In your precious name I pray, amen. You say, Cecil, I'm not even a Christian. Well, you can be. You can trust the Lord tonight if you'd like to. If you've got a tugging at your old heart right now, bow your head to me. Bow your head and shut your eyes and pray this powerful prayer. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. God, I'm sorry for my wayward life. Tonight I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, call me at 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. Oh, but friends, I'm concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
For the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, thank you, dear friends, for listening tonight. Oh, pray for me and my wife, and pray that we've got three great services at the prison Sunday, and Tuesday we've got a service at the rescue mission, and there'll be about 500 there. It's the biggest crowd they've ever had. It's cold here, and those men and women got no place to go. They get a free meal. Many of them will get put down for beds. Some will have to sleep under the bridge. Some will have to sleep in cardboard boxes with little children. Oh, friends, I see it all. My heart goes out to them. You say, well, they deserve it. No, they don't. No, they don't. You and I don't deserve heaven, but because of the grace of God, we can go. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.